Medford, as one of the region's population centers, draws in a larger population of homeless people than some other towns. It's a constant discussion topic, both issues and possible solutions. The idea of a regional shelter for people who need homes is under discussion, as is a program that could employ homeless people to help clean up the city streets. Our first guest brings two hats to discussions about homelessness in the city of Medford. Brian Shotoun is the Medford City Manager, but he is also the chair of Jackson County's Continuum of Care. Brian Shotoun's in the studio. Thanks for joining us here.
Thank you.
We have talked about the continuum of care in the past. For the people who might not have heard those discussions, what is that exactly?
Well, it is it's a federal program or label for areas to establish a continuum of care, which is made up of a housing first model. So it is a group of nonprofits and government representation on the continuum of care that we're looking at how we might be able to provide more housing, not only for those that are homeless, but are also a threat of being homeless. And that is one thing that not only Medford is lacking, but it's lacking around the state. And a lot of emails and calls that I get regarding homelessness, a lot of folks don't realize what's happening outside of the Rogue Valley and that, yes, we do have a problem, but it's not nearly a problem as it is in some other areas along the I-5 corridor and actually across the United States.
You mentioned the threat of homelessness, which is I forget exactly the term you use, but are people not aware that there are lots of people who are very close to homelessness?
That's a great question, and I would have to say that when people talk about homelessness, they're talking about the folks they can see. That's really only about 5 or 10% of the folks that are homeless or have a threat of being homeless. So there's as rent goes up, people become unable to afford their rent, and thus they become a threat of becoming homeless, or they have to move in with somebody or sleep on a couch. That is predominantly what homelessness is in our area. It isn't the folks that are hanging around the parks.
And yet, is there a risk then that we devote too much attention to too small a portion of the population simply because it's the more visible population?
Oh, absolutely. And that is what the continuum of care is looking at, is how can we not only provide, I would say, temporary shelters is something that a number of the organizations are looking at. But how do we build affordable housing? How do we partner to be able to have a larger housing stock that people can be able to, work their jobs and be able to pay their rent? It's one of the biggest things is, I talked to folks at Harry and David last week about some partnerships regarding some job trainings and also do they have property that we might be able to utilize for a shelter. And one of the items they talked about is that they're paying close to a living wage job for many of those folks, but they still can't afford rent in the area because we're at a 2-3% vacancy rate right now,
which drives the prices up and,
yes,
and all those sorts of things. Brian Shotoun, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the chair of the Continuum of Care in Jackson County and the Medford City Manager, two hats on one head. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So Continuum of Care, the way you're describing it, is not just about coordinating services. Ultimately, it's about coming up with some policy prescriptions as well that you can attack together, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. And that was one of the reasons why I was at the table at the very beginning, is because there wasn't a lot of information going about from all the nonprofits on what they're working on. So there seems to be a duplication of services. And so that was one of my concerns, was, are people fighting for the same resources? And what I learned and what a lot of folks learned that weren't involved in that is there is not a lot of duplication of services, is that the nonprofits such as Access, Maslow, and Rogue Retreat, and a few others, the Gospel Mission, yes, they're all trying to serve homelessness. They're all trying to keep people from being homeless, but it's a different segments of the population that they focus on. So having a discussion with everybody at the table on how we're going to address this has been very, very helpful.
So let's talk about a couple of the ideas then for dealing with homelessness, or at least getting some further traction on it. Why don't we start with shelter and talk about, first of all, what is lacking in shelter facilities in the greater Medford area at the moment?
Well, what's lacking is more seasonal shelters. Rogue Retreat does offer the Kelly Warming Shelter, and they did an absolutely outstanding job this past winter. They made a lot of changes to the program that really lessened the impacts around the neighborhood and also for our public safety. But we just don't have enough beds during the wintertime. And also, you know, during this type of weather, when we have hot, smoky weather, to get people out of the elements. So that's one segment of the shelter. I know there are some of the nonprofits that are looking at trying to have some permanent shelters that would operate year-round. I don't know how many beds are necessary for something like that. But all of the discussion around any shelter is not just a place for people to stay at night, but also to link them to the wraparound services that they need, whether it's to address mental health, drug and alcohol issues, or simply to get folks their IDs back. It's amazing to listen to the stories from the folks that are in Hope Village right now about they've been living in cars and living along the Greenway or outside for a number of years. And one of the first things that the folks at Hope Village do is get their identifications back for these folks, that so then they can actually go apply for jobs. So it's once you get ingrained into the other aspects of homelessness and learn more and more about it, it's quite fascinating what a lot of these folks deal with. And again, people see individuals that are living in parks and living along the Greenway. That is a small portion of the homeless population.
So they're dealing with things. I mean, any of them are dealing with things that the rest of us just, I mean, aside from them not having a place to live on a regular basis, there's just other aspects of homelessness that just don't occur to people.
Yeah, the mental health is a huge issue, obviously. And, you know, you can go back from the 1950s and some of the statistics that I've seen that the state, which also gets funding from the federal government, continues to reduce the pass downs to the county to be able to deal with mental health issues. And, yeah, I was talking to some family members the other day about the whole mental health issue. And now that we have professional athletes that are speaking out about how they're dealing with depression, maybe there'll be some emphasis on mental health, period, in America. But it just doesn't seem to happen until, you know, somebody unfortunately commits suicide or speaks out about how they deal with depression and those other things, that then becomes, I won't say an emphasis as much as an awareness. Now think about those folks that have all these resources to be able to try and deal with those issues. Here are folks that have absolutely zero resources other than what they might be able to get from a few of the nonprofits and the healthcare, but the issues that these folks deal with on a daily basis is just mind-boggling.
The kind of shelter you talk about here is more than here's a meal, here's a bed, there's the door in the morning. It's those things. Plus, though, let's talk about why it is that you are homeless and address those as well. Even with that, when you say shelter, is there a significant NIMBY barrier in locating a shelter?
Oh, there's no doubt that happens. You know, we the city dealt with that when Hope Village was proposed,
which is a collection of tiny houses on city land.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're exactly right. No matter where a shelter is going to be erected, there will be folks that will come out and actually be opposed to it. Now, our first year with the Kelly Warming Shelter was a little challenging, and so they said Rogue Retreat makes some significant changes so it made it not a no barrier but a low barrier shelter, which really improved things. And that is the model that many of the nonprofits are looking at. The impacts that surround the areas where a shelter would be located are significantly less than if it was a no-barrier shelter. So it's having to overcome that perception of what might happen to your neighborhood if there is a shelter. We've also found that individuals that are in these programs and are getting the help that they need in order to try and move themselves out of homelessness are more than willing to give back to the community for the help that they give.
And let me explain. It's interesting. The acronym has become used so often as a word. It's become a word, NIMBY, but I'm talking about not in my backyard, which is often the approach that people will take on issues like shelters. Brian Schotun's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, both the Medford City Manager and the Board Chair of Jackson County's Continuum of Care. You're welcome to join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. I want to talk about the street sweep program, which is an idea to have people who are currently homeless help clean up the streets, and it has been used in other places, apparently.
Yeah, it's not a new program. It's been I actually saw it 15 years ago when I was in Washington, D.C., as the Golden, I think called it the Golden Triangle area. A lot of folks have sent emails and calls about, hey, why don't you have these folks that are homeless clean up the areas, much like Albuquerque, New Mexico has done, and Fort Worth, Texas. Well, when we looked into it, our laws and our insurance are a little bit different in Oregon than they are in Texas and New Mexico. So we knew as an organization that we couldn't take this program on. But we could potentially offer it to a nonprofit that would then be able to accept the liability of the individuals that would be volunteering or working in the program. So I offered to any nonprofit in town the ability that the city would pay for all of the equipment for a street, that's going to call it street sweep, but the name is going to change. And so Rogue Retreat came to us and really a well-thought-out program about how they were going to use folks that are in all of their existing programs as a job training to be able to work right now from 10 to 2 in downtown and cleaning up the sidewalks and also some of the parking areas from the garbage and the cigarette butts and the things that you see down there. And so we are hoping that this program will start up towards the end of September. And we have also invited other nonprofits that want to be part of this program to potentially partner with Rogue Retreat so we can expand beyond the 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. timeframe.
And what do the people who are doing the work get for their efforts?
Well, that's up to Rogue Retreat. So our contract would be with the nonprofits is that we would provide the supplies for them and the equipment, and everything else would be their responsibility. So I know that Rogue Retreat, folks that stay in Hope Village are required to provide community service as part of staying there. They also other folks in programs that need job training, so this will be a job training program for them. We have the Medford Downtown Association. They're calling themselves
it's
now.
It's new.
It's new. They were Spark. They're really anxious to see how this works. When we talk about a sustainability piece, I think that if our hope is that if businesses see that this group is really doing a good job in helping clean up the downtown, that they will contribute towards expanding the program and maybe even offering financial incentives.
And I notice, and of course I'm cribbing now from your August 3rd op-ed in the Mail Tribune in Medford about a proposed livability team is another concept in the works.
Yeah, and we were asked by the city council last October to bring back options to address the code violations that were happening in downtown and along the Bear Creek Greenway, most notably the illegal camping that is happening. And so our police chief, Randy Sparacino, and his staff and myself, we really looked at some of the other models that are happening across the country. Would rather try to borrow from other folks and then right-size it for us. And so this is modeled after what's being done in Corvallis and also Oregon City. And the potential would be to add 3 police officers and a code enforcement officer that would be focused mainly on the downtown core area and the Bear Creek Greenway. And the emphasis is not necessarily to make homelessness a crime in downtown, because a lot of folks that are in the downtown area are not breaking any crimes. What we would like to be able to do is try to link these individuals to services that are available to them and encourage them to participate in those programs. But it's more noted towards also, I would say, addressing the issues that we're having along the Greenway with the illegal camping and the fire dangers that are associated with that. With the city over the last 6 to 8 years has spent a lot of time and resources cleaning up.
Just yesterday, I saw it was a small fire, 35 feet by 35 feet, but there was something exploding in the fire.
Yeah, well, and you know, part of that issue with things exploding in the fire is that we have a group that feeds in individuals, and we found out that they're giving out camping stoves, and so that's another part of this livability team is to work with those nonprofits that are distributing food and clothing and other things to make sure that they're not contributing to the problem of our fire danger. So that's basically what the livability team is. And we would also have the ability, because the staff for the livability team would not be connected to 911, meaning that they wouldn't be dispatched by 911. They would be working solely under a sergeant that is directing their activities. And so if something, when you talk about livability, it's not just homelessness, it's, you know, tall grass, it's abandoned vehicles, those types of things. So if we have issues, and most notably there were some issues a month or so ago around the bottle return area, that we could shift that team to different areas of town to be able to address those things that we call livability issues.
A flexible force that can check out the issues that are current at the moment.
Yeah, and we want to try and be proactive rather than reactive in these things. And again, it's how can we link people to services, and I won't say it's definitely not to make them feel uncomfortable about being in the downtown area, but having a downtown presence and a Greenway presence with officers that have badges and the ability to be able to issue citations, I think will help.
Just a couple seconds left. I do want to ask about just the whole process of wearing two hats, though. I mean, because you sometimes have to, I'm sure, address the city council as the continuum of care chair, and yet you also have to sit there as the lead staffer. So I wonder if there are times you have to say, okay, now I'm this, not this.
Well, our council's been great in allowing me to do this, and I'm only the chair because I spoke up quite vocally to the group, telling them, hey, we need to get our act together. And so I only anticipate myself being the chair for maybe the rest of this current year, and then it needs to move on to somebody else. But the council's been very supportive of the continuum of care, and so I appreciate it's one of their goals that's in their plan. So when I do speak as the city manager, it's also the COC chair. They understand that and they support it.
All right. Brian Shotoon does, in fact, wear both hats. He is the city manager of the city of Medford, and he is the chair of the Jackson County Continuum of Care, looking for a number of different options for addressing people who are living on the streets or otherwise living in places that are not permanent homes. It's an ongoing issue in the Rogue Valley and the rest of the area as well. So we'll obviously not haven't talked to you for the last time by a long stretch. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.